Good evening.
Good evening, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. How are you doing?
Pretty well, Pastor.
Doing well?
Pretty good. Very good.
Yeah, what did you do this week? You hit Mark, huh?
I hit the mark all week, this week, yeah. This coming Friday, but, this restaurant called, give me a name, Jersey Mike, restaurant, yeah.
Yeah, well, you should be pretty happy come tomorrow. You know why I said that? Do I? Come on, football starts tomorrow.
Yeah, football, yeah, for Thursday, football starts, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, it's in my mind, Pastor, yeah.
Yeah, I know it did. Oh, she would have been like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Right, football starts tomorrow. I forget who plays. But the first game of the season, that should be really good.
Yeah, that's the first game, Pastor. You know? The first game?
Yeah, the first season game starts tomorrow, I think. I don't know who plays. Let me see who's playing. Up in NFL's first game of the 2025 season is featuring Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles versus the Dallas Cowboys Thursday, September 4th, 2025 at 8:20 p.m. ET, so 7:20 tomorrow. Dallas and Philly.
What channel is going to be on, Pastor? You know.
What channel? Oh gosh, good question. Let's see. NBC. It'll be on NBC and Peacock.
I got NBC and you watch them for a year.
Mm-hmm. Your phone's a little muffled today. Are you have on a Bluetooth or something?
No.
You don't have a Bluetooth?
I do, but I use it, so.
You don't like using it?
Yeah.
Right, there you go. Yeah, there you go. Okay. It's just a little muffled. Sister Angela, God bless you. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I am off the chart.
Yes. And I'm also very ready.
You very ready?
I'm very ready.
Uh-oh.
I'm ready for this, to lead this Bible study. Sure is.
Yeah, well, then we should be excited.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Sister Christina, God bless you. How are you?
All right. How are you?
I'm wonderful, woman of God.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
All right.
I had a visitation from Michael.
I know you did.
Mm-hmm. Did he tell you?
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. He let me know. To see you. That's what I'm saying. God is working. You know, God is working. You know, I'm keep praying, and I can see it going in the right direction. So I have to let God do His work, and I cannot. I can't do it if I can't do it by myself. So it's working. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah.
Yeah, I was waiting for the words you were going to use when you said I can't do it, and you said I can't do it, and I can't do it, and I was waiting for you to say not by myself, but on my own.
That's right.
I can't.
I got to do it with God. God is working with me, like.
Hallelujah.
You know, yes. I mean, that's why every week. You know, I'm able to express how grateful I am. I mean, you know, I know most people talk about finances and things like that, but love is very important to me. And loving other people who I love them, it always has been the center of my life. I've always told people I never care about how much money I make. And people always told me, but you need money. I just feel like I need love more than I need anything in this world. Whether it comes from Michael or whether it just comes from people out on the street, people I don't know, I hug them, I talk to them, they talk to me. And when I enter a room, it feels like I've been knowing these people forever. Like I've walked the journey. So I don't know about other people, but I'm just happy being and loving God and being able to be a part of this journey with all the people, my spiritual family that's here on this line. And that's why every week I make it my business to tap in, because it's like we in the same room, even though we on the phone. You know how like a long time ago when the telephone first started and people say, oh, I know you eating grape gum, I could smell it. Through the phone line. So I feel all the love through the phone line. That's what I'm trying to say.
Hallelujah. Yeah, and we receive it. Yeah, we receive it very well. Thank you for being that person. And love is very, very important to all of us because, you know, one of the greatest, you know how they say the primary function of man is survival?
Uh-huh.
I disagree with that. I heard a philosopher and a psychiatrist, he sort of disputed that one day on television. He said, he believes that the greatest desire of man is family, is people that love them and that they can love. And it is a great, strong process, and everybody needs family. That's how gangs get started, because the leaders of those gangs know that those kids need family. You know, even if they're giving them a bad family, it's better than no family.
Mm-hmm.
So they capture our kids in that mess because somebody understands that. Family is God
is
understood it, because when he created Adam, he recognized the first thing he said was, oh, it ain't good for this man to be alone. He needs family.
Exactly.
And he made Eve. He understood that. And so I think you're spot on when you say that. So let's go around the room and give it a few minutes. It's 5:36. We're going to get started at 5:40, where there's four people here, 400 people, right?
All right.
So I'm going to go to Sister Angela. How's your week?
It is going very, very good. I am just excited about my walk. I'm excited because God is really pulling me into my purpose and allowing me to attend to my calling. So I thank and praise God for the chance of doing Bible study here tonight with you all. I thank and praise God for the upcoming event here in Janesville that God gave me a vision for. And we'll be doing a tea party here in Janesville for women on healing. And I also have an upcoming speaking engagement for breast cancer awareness for the month of October. And I just want to say Pastor.
Yep.
Pastor, thank you for your teachings. And I thank you for the times where you were completely honest with me. And I got mad a few times. But you gave it to me in the raw, and I know that's love. I was angry and hurt for a few times or whatever else. I was mad, but it was the truth, and the truth hurts. That is a lot of people think that is a cliche, but it is not. The truth does hurt, and yeah, it does. But it hurts for a few minutes, and it stings, whatever else. But you can't deny the truth. So I wanted to thank and praise God for your ministry, you and Mom. If it wasn't for her, you know, seeing me and calling me out, you know, I wouldn't have been at this amazing ministry, and I just see a lot of growth. So I'm having a good week. God is good. God is
Hallelujah.
Good.
Hallelujah.
To be mature.
What a testimony.
Yeah, to be mature and to go through your process is no joke, because you will be shot, stabbed, kicked, roasted, fried, thrown to the side, jumped on, beat on, and everything else. But you got to go through it in order to get, you know, to where God wants you to be. And it's an ongoing process. It's just different levels that I'm finding out.
Yeah, that's beautifully said. Walking God does not stop.
Nope.
When you get your revelation, or your first revelation, or your second, third, fourth, fifth revelation. Because the biggest revelation that you'll ever get in God is that you ain't never going to be there when it comes down to knowing everything. He's full of surprises. He's full of knowledge. He's full of wisdom, full of instinctual growth. And sometimes, you know, you get 50, 60, 70 years old, and you go, okay, well, I've been in church all my life. I know what to do.
Nope.
Yeah, you know what to do, but you don't know what you know.
Amen.
God has so much wisdom for us and so much understanding when it comes down to our families. And we're going to get into that tonight, too, as Sister Angela leads us tonight in our Bible study. So I hope everybody's excited, because one of the other things we are is a discipling ministry. And I'm going to go back to something, because when someone loves you, as hard as it may be on the person that loves you,
Amen.
They will still tell you the truth about you. And if you can identify as the people of God, if you can truly identify the people that love you versus the feeling of love for people, and you really pay attention, you'll find the people that love you are the ones that are honest, sincere. They don't switch on you. They don't bait and switch.
Amen.
They're not different the next day from the next week. You know,
right.
When you call them and you complain, you don't normally hear them complaining to you, because they're more concerned about your soul than they are about telling you how they feel. And it's you can identify real love. And it's always based upon people who are listening and recognizing through the Spirit of God, okay, this is what's missing in this person's life. This is what they're not seeing, whether it's about them or the people around them. This is the part that they're not seeing. And they're going to try to give it to you with as much love as possible, but they're going to give it to you honestly. And if you have that, you are one of the most fortunate people, by God, on the planet. It is one of the most gracious gifts from God. Somebody that loves you enough to not agree with you.
That's right.
To just not be there for the purpose of saying, yeah. Oh, yeah, that person is terrible. Yeah, you need to just pack up and hit the street rather than teach you how to stand your ground and go into spiritual war. The devil is alive. You deserve it. It's yours to have. He promised it to you. Go get it. And then go get it some more. Until it's gotten. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to ask Sister Itina, would you open us up in prayer tonight?
Oh, okay. Yes.
Instant in season.
Right. I'm good, but, you know, as you say, the word just flows through you. So I want to say, Heavenly Father, I want you to bless everyone who is on this Bible study, on this prayer line, outside of our prayer line. I want you to know that I want God to hear our calling of giving us peace and joy and the gift of life, waking up every morning, every day, and helping us go to sleep at night I want God to hear my prayer for everybody in the world so we can have peace, because we all are struggling right now. Whether people know it or not, we're fighting a terrible demon right now. You know what I'm saying? And it is attacking all of us. But together we can defeat it. So God, give us the power, give us the strength. Let us live. Let us enjoy this life. Let us be able to be here every day, all day, carefree. Oh, my God. For the things that might come to us, protect us. Be our shelter. Be our food. Be our power. Be our everything. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Sister Owanda, God bless you. Thank you for being here.
Greetings, beautiful family. Just popping in. I might pop back out. Love you all.
Thank you. Sister Angela, if you would like to get started.
Okay, so tonight on the Bible study, I am coming from 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 14. Can somebody read that for us, whoever wants to read tonight? The subject that we'll be talking about is let everything be done in love. In love. Mm-hmm. That's in what Pastor Moreau was just talking about. That was confirmation. I was trying not to cry because that was confirmation from the Holy Spirit to let me know that is what he wanted us to expound on, eat, and learn. So, if anybody would like to read 1 Corinthians 14. Anybody?
I'll read it for you if you want.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
It says, pursue love and desire a spiritual gift, especially that you may prophesy. For the person who speaks into another tongue is not speaking to people, but to God, since no one understands him. He speaks mysteriously in the spirit. On the other hand, the person who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and consolation. The person who speaks in another tongue builds himself up, but the one who is prophesied builds up the church. I wish all of you spoke in another tongue, but even more that you prophesize, the person who prophesies is greater than the person who speaks in tongues, unless he is interprets so that the church may be built up. So now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you speaking in another tongue, how will I benefit you unless I speak to you with revelation or knowledge of a prophecy or teaching? Even lifeless instruments that produce sound, whether flutes or harp, if they don't make a distinctive in the notes, how will what is played on the flute or the harp be recognized? If the bulge makes an unclear sound, who will prepare for the battle? In the same way, unless you use your tongue for intangible speech, how will what is spoken be known? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different kinds of languages in the world. None is without meaning. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker will be a foreigner to me. So also you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, seek to excel in building up the church. Therefore, the person who speaks in another tongue should pray that he can interpret. For if I pray in another tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What then?
I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing praise the spirit, and I also will sing praise my understanding. Otherwise, if you praise with the spirit, how will the outsider say amen? As you are giving thanks, since he does not know what you are saying. For you may very well be giving thanks, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in other tongues more than all of you. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding in order to teach others. Also, then 10,000 words is another tongue. Brothers and sisters, don't be childish in your thinking, but be infants in regards to evil and adult in your thinking. It is written in the law, I will speak to his people by people or other tongues and by the lips of foreigners, and even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Speaking in another tongue then is intended as a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. While prophecy is not for unbelievers, but for believers. If therefore the whole church assembles together and all are speaking in other tongues, and people who are outsiders or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all of the prophecy and some unbelievers and or outsiders come in, he is convicted by all and is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart will be revealed. And as a result, he will fall face down and worship God, proclaiming God is really among you. They say, order in a church meeting. Y'all want to keep reading? Y'all, nobody's saying it. Okay.
Yeah, because it's breaking down. It's breaking down all of the stuff that goes with the spiritual gifts. So that's why I'm just letting you read it, because when you get to chapter 40, okay. I mean verse 40, then we will expound on it, because it's such a big scripture.
Okay. So it's labeled order in the church meeting. It says, "What then, brothers and sisters? Whenever you come together, each one has a hymn, a teaching, a revelation, and other tongues or interpretation. Everything is to be done for the building up. If anyone speaks in another tongue, there are to be only two, or at the most three, each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no interpreter, that person is to keep silent in the church and speak to himself and God. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should evaluate. But if something has been revealed to another person sitting there, the first prophet should be silent, for you can all prophesy one by one, so that everyone may learn and everyone may be encouraged. And the prophet spirit are subject to the prophet. Since God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints, the woman should be silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but are to submit themselves, as the law also says. If they want to learn something, let them ask their own husband at home, since it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in church. Or did the word of God originate from you, or did it come to you only? If anyone thinks he is a prophet or a spiritual, he should recognize that what I written to you is the Lord's command. If anyone ignores this, he will be ignored, so that then, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. Do not forbid speaking to other tongues, but everything is to be done decently and in order.
Amen. 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 That was a lot. That was a lot to be said. That was a lot. So the topic tonight is going to be let everything be done in love. So this scripture is talking about all of the various gifts, the gift of prophecy and the gift of tongues. Tongues, we all know, and for those who don't know, that is a type of prayer language that people are endowed with. That's a gift that we get from the Father in order to have direct 911 conversation directly to Him. In the church, some people believe, in some churches, that when you speak in tongues, there should always be somebody who is endowed with the gift of interpretations of tongues. I have been churching for years, and I've only seen it happen maybe once or twice. But then I ask myself, and other people have asked themselves, how do we know if that is being what's, I mean, if that's what's really being said? See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
with that gift, we all have to be careful. And so what I do as a woman of God, I will speak in tongues when the Holy Spirit puts it, you know, I mean, when the Holy Spirit brings it up out of me and I'm in a service. But a lot of times I'm doing it directly straight to God. I'm not doing it for the church.
Okay.
So a lot of people think that they don't, I mean, a lot of people think that tongues isn't something that's needed because a lot of people don't understand it or whatever else. I haven't got that far as studying on somebody who is interpreting tongues, but I do know that it is a gift. And it is a 911 straight to God, because they have studies where they have shown where people have, you know, they talked in their, I mean, they prayed in English and they had their brain waves and all that, you know, being checked and all that other stuff. And when they went in to praying in tongues, their brain waves kind of just stayed the same, but it was their spirit that was talking directly to God. So it is, it's true in science. It's very, very spiritual. It's very, very powerful. Because when you don't know what else to do, you don't know what to pray, you don't know anything, you can go and pray in your prayer language.
Mm-hmm.
So it was talking a lot about speaking in tongues, this scripture, and it also talks a lot about prophesying. We as the body of Christ should be wanting these gifts, desiring the gifts, because it's going to help the body of Christ. It's also when people prophesy to others who come in from the community, you know, that helps people's beliefs go up when somebody can talk directly to their spirit, because that's what prophesying is. Has anybody ever had anybody prophesy to them and it came to pass?
Yes.
You have? Can you please share your experience?
I've had people tell me things like, you know, as I was going, for instance, for me in school, it was like, school was difficult at first. Right, but I mean, my grandma used to say, like, God said, if you believe in school and you believe that you can do this, this will happen. He said, Tina, I can see you. You're gonna be a doctor. And he said that, you know what I'm saying, I'm gonna live long enough for you to grow and to be a woman.
Mm-hmm.
She spoke that into me because my mom died when I was 12.
And she told me, she said, I am not going to leave you until you become an adult. See, until you become grown. This is what she told me. My grandmother did not die until she was 85 years old. And when she was dying, she said to me, you are grown now.
Mm. Nice. Wow.
And I was. And I was. Wow. I'm grown. I was grown. And I was happy and I was proud. And I wasn't sad that she was leaving me.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't sad.
Mm-hmm.
So she spoke that to me. She let me know. I don't know if, like, death is a thing, too, because when I was 12, when my mama was dying, before she died, it was August. And my mama told me and my little brother, she said, nobody's going to love you like I'm going to love you. She said, but I'm going to leave you soon, and I'm going to be young, and I'm going to die on a scary night. My mama was 28 years old, and she died on Halloween.
Mm.
And when she died, my cousin was having an asthma attack. Me and my brother put him over the sink. His nose was bleeding. We was helping him. And when he opened his eyes, he said, Van's gone. He said, Van gone. My brother said, don't stay there. That's my mama. He said, no, she told me to tell y'all that. Mm.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Anyone else? Anyone else ever had somebody prophesy into your life?
Absolutely. Okay. When I first got saved, 1997, the church that I was in, I was faithful. I was going to that church. I received the Holy Ghost probably about 3 weeks after. It might have been a little bit longer than that. It might have been a month or two after I started going to the church. But I remember very clearly, and I'll never forget her, the young lady that I was married to, my wife, one of her cousins went to that church. And there was a knock at the door one day. I think we were, probably eating. And I went to answer the door. And she asked for her cousin. And I said, yeah, yes, ma'am, come on in. And she said, you know me from church? And I said, yeah, I've seen your face before. And she came in and she told her cousin, she said, the Lord told me to come by. He told me to pray with you all. And so the cousin was sort of kind of like, yeah, right. I don't necessarily want to hear that. And I said, please do. And she started praying. And she looked in my eyes and she said, you're called to be the head and not the tail.
Amen.
You're called to walk a walk that's going to be difficult and tedious and troublesome and worrisome. And a lot of people are not going to understand it. But God is calling you. And she went on to pray. And and I sort of kind of said, oh, that was nice. I didn't understand it at that time. Right? I didn't know that she was prophetically speaking. I just thought she was trying to be nice. Right? That was a nice thing to say. Right? And, and as time went on, I began to understand it. And I never reached for any position, certainly don't care about title. I never reached to be anybody, but God did some things in my life that right now I'm a business owner. I'm the head of it. The job that I had, I was the person with the least amount of degrees, and they made me the manager of those people with the PhDs and the masters. And I had to teach them. And I began to realize as these things were happening, and this was over a period of years. But I remembered that woman's prayer. And I knew right then that word is true. I now know what it means to be the head and not the tail. So yes, I've had that experience.
Amen. But
I would emphasize that experience is not just to prophesy someone being the head and not the tail. Prophesying is also when you can say to someone, because God is telling you that what that person is going through right now is going to get fixed by God. That's prophecy.
Yep. Yes. Takes
prophesying
you from one level
is
to
when
the
you
next.
Can say, yeah, you can say, yeah, you're in a troubled marriage now, but it's going to be a blessed marriage later.
Mm-hmm.
Prophesying is when you can look at someone and they know that they're dealing with, you know, family issues, kids and things are not going right with the kids. And the Lord gives you a word to them that says, ah, but he's getting ready to straighten out some things. He's fixing it. You
that's
can't
right.
trust it. And then, and then
right.
over time, as they move forward, they start seeing those words manifest. And honor is when you can sit back and say, somebody spoke it into my life. And I know that
Amen.
That was God now speaking to that person. Because the danger in the prophecy part of our existence is when we don't acknowledge the prophesier.
Mm-hmm.
That's a danger. Because when we don't say, you know, somebody, this was spoken to me. Now I know this is a person, this is somebody that God was speaking through, and you don't know how to honor that, then you end up dishonoring the prophecy.
Yeah.
And when you dishonor the prophecy, you can unprophecy the prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Because that's why the Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. It's not talking about walking into the doctor's office.
Can somebody turn
the
their Can somebody turn their phones on and mute because we can hear? Yeah.
I think it's the one I can mute it for.
Okay.
And so it's the honor part. It's like Jesus is fixing things in my life, but to not say Jesus did it. And then I started talking about how, yeah, last year I didn't have a nickel in my pocket, but today, I'm about to buy a house. And never acknowledge mm-hmm. as a believer that Jesus did it. You undo
mm-hmm.
what God is doing.
Yeah.
You can blow a prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we get that adage, what God has for you is for you, and yeah, that's absolutely true. But what he has for you can be delayed, even though it won't be denied. It can
Amen.
Take 10 years to get what should have took place in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Does that
Amen.
Make sense? So, yes, I've had it. I can't speak for everybody else, but I certainly have seen validation when it comes out
mm-hmm.
to the Word of God. He's validated
Amen.
Himself over and over and over. That's why I'm not
mm-hmm.
confused about him today.
Amen.
Amen. Get me to leaving. I can leave the church before I can leave God.
That's
mm-hmm.
right.
Praise
but
the Lord. I can leave the church, but I'm not leaving God. Go
Amen.
Ahead,
Amen.
Pastor, you did that for me.
Hey, Sister Deborah, I heard your voice.
Yes, sir, I'm blessed. How are you? Thank you for
awesome
asking.
Awesome and awesome and awesome. Yes,
Thank
ma'am.
You.
Good to hear your voice. Praise the Lord for you being here. I'm
you.
Sorry. Go ahead now. We're talking about prophecy. Sister Deborah, in the 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, Sister Angela's teaching tonight, and her topic is, what's your topic?
My topic is, let everything you do be done in love.
Amen.
It has to be done in love.
Okay.
When people prophesy, it has to be done out of love. Because
Amen.
If it's not, and I'm not talking about our love, I'm talking about the agape love that God
yes.
flows through us.
Yes.
Because
Amen.
When if we prophesy on our own reconnaissance and all that other stuff, that's where we get into like dangerous territory because people get big headed. You gotta have 50,000 security guards, you walking around with you walking around with big robes and, you know, now it's just all about entertainment and all that other stuff and it becomes dangerous. So it is for us to desire those gifts to edify the body of Christ and also for people who are coming into the church and it brings them from one level to the next. You know, my God sees me. God sees me, you know, this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it helps. So we should desire the spiritual gift
mm-hmm.
of prophecy, speaking in tongues. And this is what, you know, the whole scripture is just breaking it down. with the praying in the spirit. You pray in the spirit when you speak in tongues in your prayer language, and then prophecy. So prophecy is to build up and edify the body. I'm saying this once again. It is not a money gimmick. You got a lot of people who are saying, send me $1.5 million and I will speak into your life. That right there, that's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. Because when a true prophet comes to you and they are speaking into your life, you're going to want to give because you love God so much. Just like you want to give when you are in the church because you love God so much. So let's go back to doing things in love. Let's talk about speaking in tongues. And I want to go around the room and I want to ask everybody a question. Speaking in tongues. Have you ever had revelation while praying in tongues? Have you ever seen a vision while you were praying in tongues? So I want to ask that question. So whoever wants to go first. Anybody? Dad?
I speak in tongues, but this lady was telling me she could teach me, and I was like, I don't think that's something you could be taught.
Mm-hmm. No, because the Holy Spirit gives you utterance. The Bible always says it. It's the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's the Holy Spirit praying through you directly to God. You don't even know what's being said.
Exactly. There you go. Amen.
Nobody. Yes.
Amen.
Right. Amen. I didn't think that was a thing, so I kept talking to her.
Yeah, because a lot of churches don't teach on the fivefold ministry. That's a whole other subject. But a lot of people don't believe that they can have the gift of speaking in tongues. Because a lot of churches don't teach it.
So if I may, let's get everybody to understand what the tongues are. So go to Acts, the second chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Go backwards a little bit, please. Book of Acts is just before the book of 1 Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, it's before the book of Romans.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the second chapter. And I want you to know what tongue language is. So
I'll read it.
Many people have tongue language but have not allowed it to flow.
Amen.
Because in order for tongue language to flow, we have to move into a place where we have absolutely sold out to the Holy Ghost. Because more often than not, a tongue language that's not coming from the Holy Ghost, we already have that. I want you to get it. If that already exists. It's called Chinese, called French, it's called Japanese, it's called Russian. That's tongue language without the Holy Ghost. If
Amen.
You were to go over to China right now and start talking, people would look at you and go, I don't know what she's saying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand her. Right? And so Paul was talking about how to those people, you're a barbarian because they think their language is the right language and so forth. But so those are languages that got developed by people who needed to communicate thoughts, ideas, feelings as their culture was growing, right? Mm-hmm. Because I'm sure there was a time when man was very much caveman, archaic, and in the dark. So language doesn't show up for man until the angelic host come down and start teaching them how to write, right? That you'll find that in the Ethiopian Bible. Angelic hosts come and teach men to write. Angelic hosts get caught up by mankind, start having sex with women. They start producing giants. That's where Goliath comes from, right? Mm-hmm. These are babies that get, because the angelic host began to, without the authority of God, intermingle with mankind. They taught man how to work with iron, how to pull ore out of the earth, how to what gold was, and all those different things become a part of mankind. So as those cultures were growing, And as they were separating and spreading throughout the earth, they developed language, ways to express themselves. So that's really a form of tongue, mm-hmm. right? Because as he's talking, he starts talking about how, you know, a tongue language is something that nobody understands but the person that's speaking it. So it's tongue. So really, when you think about what's coming out of us as we communicate to one another, these are impulses that we've developed, words that we've developed from impulses over time as a culture, right, as we grew. But it's really just tongue, right? Because if it was a universal language that God put in everybody, I could go to China, the people would understand. Chinese could come here, I would understand them. So this is no universal language. This is a language that's developed based on time and other people beginning to learn it and being able to explain it so other people can learn it. You taught it to your kids, and the kids begin to understand the word, which is nothing but an impulse. Like, so reverse it for a moment. And then we'll read two. Reverse it for a moment. Think about this. When your babies are born, they come out with a language, but you don't understand them.
Right.
You begin to learn their language as you watch and go, okay, that particular sound, he's hungry. You don't know why you know he's hungry. You know, part of it might be, okay, I'm guessing because I haven't fed him, but mostly you can tell. Here's the amazing part. Take your baby, put him in a room with 40 other babies, and let that baby make a sound and see, don't mama know that's my baby crying. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Everybody else don't know that's your baby, but you know.
Right. Yes.
Oh, no, that's my baby. Let me go get him. Right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There were 40 other babies. Other people are going, well, whose child is that? That's mine. Because
mm-hmm.
you can hear something in that language that other people can't. You can tell something in the denoting of his language, the voice, that other people can't. And it's still a baby. But to the average person, when babies cry, they all cry the same. Right? Think about it.
Man,
to the average person, they came into a room and babies were crying, they all sound the same to them. But they don't sound the same to you when it's yours. Does that make sense? So what is tongue language? What is the Bible considering tongue language? Go to Acts, the second chapter, and watch this. And you'll understand it. Mm-hmm, please do. Start 2:1 and read down to about 2:5. Yep.
Okay. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seems to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
So,
want me to keep going?
Everybody see that? Mm-mm, stay right there for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
First, the Spirit enables tongue, and that's why mm-hmm. you have to be sold out to the Spirit. Right? You have to be sold out to the Spirit. Why does that make any sense? Because we have a tongue language already. Ours is English. That's what we call it. And it's mm-hmm. and it's recognizable by people, right? They can speak this tongue language. It's not recognizable by the Chinese or the French, but it's recognizable by other people to speak this tongue language. So he's saying when you allow yourself to be sold out to the Holy Ghost. Now, how do I get sold out to the Holy Ghost? That is to recognize at the point in our life where we realize everything I need is in God, not everything I want. Everything I need is in God, and I'm comfortable with whatever God's will is, and I stop fighting to survive, and I start allowing myself to live in the presence of God.
Amen.
I can live in the presence of God.
Amen.
I'm gonna be in a survival mode in the presence of people, because I don't know which one is lying. I don't know which one is tricking me. I don't know who's after my money. I don't know what the next shoe drop is going to be when I'm dealing with people. And so I go into a survival mode. I got to be careful with them. I got to watch over this. I got to keep my eye on that. Keep my eye on this. Keep. Watch. Pay attention. Oh, I got to pay my bills. I got to go make sure that there's food on my table. I got to go cook. That's a survival mode. That is a mechanism that God gave us by which to secure us having a future, right?
Man.
So we go into a survival mode. And for most of us, we were in that survival mode all through life, right? Because you were trying to find ways to get through your next struggle and your next trial and your next situation. And who didn't pay the bills and you had to pay them. You were surviving. You were struggling to do the one thing that God gave you the free gift of, which was life. I'm struggling to get through it, though, because everybody around me is just, you know, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of cooperation when it comes to helping me live. So I have to do it myself, which makes it a struggle. Now watch where I'm going. Amen. The minute I understand fully and receive fully who Jesus Christ is and that the struggle is over, I can begin to live and I become sold out to the Holy Ghost, which means I have absolute trust, absolute faith, absolute confidence. I know that no matter what I'm going through, somehow it's going to work out to the good, like the scripture says. So even when something looks bad, I'm not getting caught up in what it looks like. I'm not getting caught up on what God is going to do with it. And I can rest in that thing. And when I get sold out to the Holy Ghost, a tongue language will come. You'll be sitting
Amen.
There grunting and groaning.
Amen.
And even your grunt is a tongue language before God.
Amen.
Nobody knows what you're talking about.
Amen.
I just want to make sure we get it. So Paul makes sure he says, do all speak in tongues? And he talks about that in Romans. Does everybody have this gift or that gift? No, not really. But a lot of times it's not there because we won't allow it to happen. Just like when you go into a church and you feel the Spirit hitting you and you withdraw from that and go, I don't want nobody to think I'm crazy. I'm not jumping and shouting, but you feel it rising up. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
You know, you see it in the Bible study.
To let yourself do it, because there's anointing in the house. And where anointing is, there's this movement of the Spirit, and He's moving through us. And many of us forfeit that gift of tongue language because we won't let Him move fully. We want to hold Him off because, you know, my personal appearance is very important. And, you know, I don't want to look like I'm all in like them, because some of them look crazy to me, but, you know, hey. And so we hold off. But the key is, because you'll feel, somebody can witness to this, I'm sure, because I did. I know I went through it. I was watching people with the Holy Ghost, and I'm watching them, and they're moving, tongue is coming out of them. They, you know, and then you feel it, and you and here's what Satan does to protect you, or not protect you, but to block you from getting that power. Here's how he blocks you.
Yeah, ego.
You might look like you feel like you're getting ready to lose your mind. I know I'm talking to somebody.
Yeah,
you're
talking
lose
to
your
me.
Mind if you do that.
You'll
lose your mind. You'll lose your mind. However, when do we get to a place, and somebody said this to me before, and it was very powerful, very potent. And he said, when I caught the Holy Ghost, I was worried about losing my mind. He said, and then I realized, he said, it's like God spoke to me. It's your mind that got you in all this trouble. So if
Amen.
You lose it, what
Amen.
Did you really lose?
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. What did you really give up? You gave up the problem.
Yes.
Now when I sell out like that, what I now can receive is the mind of Christ. Because I have to be, something has to happen to make, and when we say the word lose our mind, I hope and pray everybody gets this. So when we say we might lose our mind, all we're really saying is I'm going to let go of everything I believe. For God to put some new belief in me. And that's why people don't sell out, because they don't want to let go of everything that they believe.
Yes, because if I get rid of everything I believe, I also have to admit maybe I'm delusional.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm not seeing things right. And I don't want to admit something's wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do that. How dare you challenge me and tell me I don't have this right. No matter that my kids ain't healthy and happy and holy, don't matter that I'm week to week, paycheck to paycheck. Doesn't matter that you know, I don't even know if I'm gonna be able to keep the roof over my head. Doesn't matter. Don't you dare tell me something is wrong though with how I'm doing it.
Amen.
So they resist the Holy Ghost. This is why a lot of people don't develop tongue language. They take the intellectual approach into kingdom living, and they're articulating God through their own thoughts rather than through the thoughts of the Holy Ghost. Because the funny thing about the funny thing about the Holy Ghost is if you allow him and sell out to him, it's going to hurt a little bit. I want you to know that. Sister Angela's spot on. It's going to hurt a little bit. And the reason that it's going to hurt, it's not going to be because it's going to hurt you personally. It's going to hurt because to whom much is given, much is
required.
It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt because when I get the mind of Christ, the Bible also says, with much knowledge comes much grief. And most folks don't want to be grievous in their life, even though you're living better than you've ever lived before. The grief comes because now I can see what everybody else is missing.
Yes.
That's the grief.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my God. I'm going to hang this phone up.
Like
you hit it right on the head.
See what they're missing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Now that I got it.
Yes, sir.
Got to try to find ways to get it.
Yes.
And I want to read this. I want to read this because I was just going into Acts, the second chapter, and I'm going to read this. It says, "Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by Prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." How powerful is that?
Very. Very, very.
How powerful is that? You know, the Holy Spirit is everything. Everything. Everything that we need. I remember when I first started with Pastor Monroe, he said that God has given us the tools that we need. We have those within us. We just have to get to the point where we are, like Pastor Monroe says, so confident and so built up in the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit gives you strategy and shows you which ones to pick up at certain times and when to put those away at certain times.
Mm-hmm.
So the gifts are to edify the body, but a lot of people do not, a lot of people do not desire the right things because, like Pastor Moreau said, we have so much distraction. When all we need is the Holy Spirit. That's all we need. Because I remember a woman told me long time ago, God rest her soul. She said, "Angela, if you be about our Father's business, he'll be about yours."
Amen. Very simple.
And like Pastor Will always
family,
says,
he'll take care of your family.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah. Yes. And like Pastor Moreau always teaches, you know, mm-hmm. he teaches us about the tools. He teaches us about the Holy Spirit. And when it's mm-hmm. all said and done, it's not an easy thing to do, but it's the best thing to do. And that's the only thing that we have to do. Everything else is just a distraction. So we should desire the gifts of the Spirit, because we are to edify and to uplift and encourage everyone in the body of Christ. And then also to want to prophesy to the people, all the souls that God is calling into the kingdom, the new people.
Mm-hmm.
Because the enemy has everybody so stuck on themselves. It's all about me. And it's not about me. It never was about you. Even people who have the gift of prophecy, even if people have the gift of tongues, it was not for you. It is for somebody else. Because I've heard a lot of prophets say they prophesied to people with 100% accuracy, but when they found themselves in their tests and trials, they didn't know what to do. They had to go to God. And God helped them out of there. Because the gifts were never for you, and everything should be done in love and in order. Because if you function out of your own love, like like Pastor Moreau taught me, human love is pretty messy.
Amen.
It's messy. But when you function out of the agape love of God, now you're doing it, you know what I'm saying, and it's flowing correctly, and it's reaching the next person's soul, and it's bringing that person who was in a test and trial for a long time, and then all of a sudden somebody comes and says, thus say the Lord your God, you coming out of this. That person goes from that level to the next level.
Next level, yes.
And everybody's going from one level to the next. Over and over again, building up, edifying, keeping each other accountable.
Yes.
May I ask something else for us as a church? So let's go. Let's talk again about what was happening in Acts, the second chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So the Holy Ghost then became the evidence of their salvation, the speaking in tongue part. It was the evidence that God had. That they had sold out to God.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the tongue language. It was the fact that the language came to them. That was the evidence. That's the Holy Ghost is there.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't matter whether they were Jews or Greeks.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't matter who they were. They said, these men are speaking in tongue language. Can't nobody do that but God. And the language was so articulated by the Holy Ghost that there were people standing around them in Acts from different parts of the country, and they heard words in their own language, even though these men didn't know the language. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you what that is. Can I talk to you for a moment?
Sure.
Because it's going to shock you. One of the most important things of why God wants you to prophesy is because he needs you to get so fully sold out to him that you learn how to trust what you hear.
Because
most of us don't trust what we hear. We don't know what voice is speaking right now. So I don't really trust what I hear, so I don't move forward with the prophecy part of my life. Now watch where I'm going. I learned how to hear God and trust him, and I've scared more people out of New Covenant than I have into it. Because they'll be standing there. They ain't never been in a church before.
Wow.
And they'll come up for prayer, and the Lord will give me, and I'll go, brother, you just went through this, and you just went through that, but God is saying he saw you. And people walk out going, who told that man about me? Anybody, you've seen it before, right, Hawanda?
Yes, sir.
Speaking right into, why? Because when you are sold out, the prophecy comes from God saying, I'm going to tell you what to tell them so that they know ain't nobody but God talking through you. It ain't something that you thought up real kind and intellectual and sweet and cool. It's going to be something I'm going to say. It might hurt them. It might scare them.
It might shake them off, but they're going to walk away knowing either somebody talked to you or God was actually in that place with that person that moment.
Yes, sir.
You know, why does he do it that way? Because of the scripture that says, I will leave them without an excuse.
Amen.
So would you, if you were to walk up to me and tell me how much money I had in my pocket, you came up to me and I don't know you, and you told me, you know, how many rooms in the house, or you told me what was going on last night with me and my wife, what she said to me, what I said to you, and I turn around and walk away and know that, that and say that ain't God, I am now denying the power of God.
Woo!
And there is no more excuse for me.
Yes, sir.
Oh, God, I hope you hear me.
Oh, God.
My people perish for the lack of knowledge. Lord Jesus.
Yeah, that's what it says. And it does.
And so I'm saying all that, though, because this is why this is so important for us as saints, the body of believers, because inside of you is a word for somebody. Please hear me.
Yes, sir.
Inside of you is a word for somebody. If you don't trust the voice, you'll never speak the word that God needed you to speak. Because you'll just go, I'm just thinking this about this person. You got to learn how to trust it. And the only way you will ever go into that level with him is that you're going to have to start telling people what you hear. You will have to open your mouth and say, I heard in my spirit just now that this is going on. And then
Pastor,
when you see their reaction, you sure can. Let me finish this part, though. And then when you start seeing their reaction, you're going to know that was God speaking through me.
Amen.
That's when your tongue language will go off the chart. Because when you know he spoke through you, you have no doubt that the Holy Ghost is living in you. And what you begin to do is start speaking in tongues. And the reason that you speak in tongues is because there is no word in anybody's language, Japanese, Chinese, French, doesn't matter. There's no word in anybody's language that can describe the goodness of God without the Spirit being engaged. That's why David said, if I had 10,000 tongues, it wouldn't be enough to say thank you. There is no word to describe them. We sit back and say things like, God is good. Yeah, that's good.
God.
But there's no word to describe them except that it comes from within you, within your spirit. Most people, if they were to worship and allow themselves to go deep into the worship, not to sit back and listen to the praise team and try to harmonize with them. I'm talking about to go deep into the reason for the song and let that song be a part of your life, you will start speaking in tongues.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Ooh,
if you just let yourself go and let God do what he does, tongue language will come out. It's so natural. You'll hear it'll just happen.
Amen.
Because the thank you will come out from the spirit man. And so with God, he is so wise that he knows when it comes down to church, and this is what Paul is saying, everybody ain't gonna be there with you. So you need to speak in a language that's plain and acceptable and understandable so that they have a reason to say amen. But he also said, because when you speak in tongue, you are directly connected, as Andrew said, it is your 911, it is your worldwide way into the kingdom. And when you start talking, God is listening in that tongue language, and he's going, angels are applauding,
the throne.
Little cherubims and seraphims are flying around.
Hallelujah.
They're hearing that spirit talk to God, and they receive it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So don't be afraid of it. Don't run away from what that feeling is, because that feeling is the Holy Spirit trying to say, just sell out to me. Just trust me. I got you. I got you in sickness. I got you in health. As Paul said, if you made your bed in hell, I'm still with you. If you climbing mountains, I'm going to be there with you. And you begin to know that, and it brings you a level of comfort that you've never, ever experienced And that is the peace that God gives that the world can't take away.
Yeah.
Because you know,
hallelujah,
should I perish?
Yeah.
That's the new it. If I perish, I perish. But I hear God. And I'm going to move forward on the mission and the vision he just gave me. I'm going to go step into the biggest pot of danger you ever seen in your life. Trusting God that something is going to come out of this. When we move into that place, glory, your children, they'll start changing. Because you won't ever fuck with them and fight with them again.
You'll
start talking in tongue on them. They won't even know what you mean. But the spirit will give utterance. And they'll walk away from there going, whatever mama was doing, I don't like that. I better cut it out right now. I don't know. What was mama saying? I don't know, man. That was like some totally, I don't know what that was.
Yeah.
But it has power.
Yeah.
Everybody wants us to have it. It has power.
Yeah,
I can start talking in your tongue language to see how that sickness feels. I don't know if I got any worshipers on the line.
Amen.
If you're a worshiper, I want you to pay attention the next time you go deep into worship, whether it's off a record, it don't matter if you're in church. Worship is worship wherever you are.
Amen.
And if you go deep into your worship, I want you to pay attention on how you feel while you're worshiping. And, and I'll tell you, if you got pain in your body, it'll leave.
Amen.
If you got problems in your mind, you won't even notice the problem anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because worship is a form of language. That's why the Bible says it confuses the enemy. Because when I go to worship, Satan don't know what to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
And when you speak in your tongue language, it's the only language that Satan can't understand. Because it has no foundation that anybody can literally, other than somebody that's in that place of interpretation, there's nobody else that can understand it but God.
Amen.
And that's the secret right there.
911.
Did you receive it?
They can't do it. They can't receive it.
Nobody understands it but God.
That's
so therefore, I can be talking to God and telling him to fix this, fix this, do this, handle this. God, please, go on ahead and take care of this part and so forth. So, Satan can't do a thing about it. But if I'm speaking in the language I'm speaking now, Satan has been around for so long, he knows every language on the planet. He can speak these languages. He's the prince of the air. And so since he's the prince of the air, if I sit back and say, I hate my wife, he heard that, he's going to make her act worse.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to make her act worse.
Right. Amen. Amen.
I just told him what's getting to me. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, I just told him myself.
The praise the Lord.
He's dealing with these bills. Oh, my God. These bills are I'm so tired of my bills. Instead of saying, I thank God that I got the money to pay bills.
Amen.
I'm so tired of these bills. I can't. You just don't know. It's so hard. And my children won't help me. It's so hard. And they just don't give me enough money on my Social Security. It's so hard. And I don't have enough food stamps. And I don't. And I'm just complaining. Satan is sitting back giggling. Now I'm going to cut your food stamps. I got you. I'm going to send you an extra bill. I'm going to make them make a mistake down at the billing office. And now the bill that used to be 50 came in at 175, and you only had the 50. Now I'm going to send you into stress, duress, depression, and all those different things. Because my tongue language is one that's understandable by Satan in English.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't understand a word I say in the spirit.
Amen.
Bring me to when you are talking about stuff and these people are trying to confuse you or they're fussing with you. When you do get to talking in tongues, they spirit, their spiritual being, they can hear you, they can feel you. You're talking to them in the spirit and not them in the flesh. And when they saying, mama, she just was confused. I don't understand what she doing. Oh, I'm going to get away from her. But you know what? You still planted that seed within them. And that seed is still growing. And Satan got to go. And I'm going to tell you, it's a miracle because a person, my son, I thought would not come back to me, came back to me and said, mama, you know, I did some more studying and you know, you was telling me about Jesus and this magic, and, you know, I was saying, I just want to apologize to you because Jesus, I was saying he do magic, and you were saying he's not doing magic, he's doing miracles, but I didn't understand the difference. But after studying this, I see that it's not the same type of magic. I just want to apologize to you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I say hallelujah. God turned that thing around, took it in it, but
yes,
he still
yes.
turned it around. Stop talking
yes,
to him.
Yes.
Start praying for them, you know, in the spirit.
Amen.
Yeah, he'll turn
Amen.
It around.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can
Hallelujah.
I ask
for God? Good to hear your voice.
You too, Pastor. You too, Apostle. I miss being here, right. but it's for good reasons, y'all know.
Yes, ma'am. You got work
yes.
to do.
Can
God,
about
yes,
yes,
sir.
God knows. Yes, he
yes.
does.
So, Sister Angela, we resolve back to you, madam. Where do you want to
Can
take
I
us
take?
From here? It's just about come to 6:43. We've got about 17 minutes.
Yep, and I just wanted to just do an overview real quick of since we spoke and we all, you know, understand about, I hope everybody's getting the understanding of speaking in tongues and, you know, how profitable it is and how wonderful
mm-hmm.
it is. It's truly a
oh,
beautiful
yeah.
thing. And I just encourage all my brothers and sisters to just really, really dig in and really, really,
yes.
really, you know, utilize the Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit,
yes.
because he's there. And he's just
Absolutely.
Waiting, and like Pastor said, to sell out to him.
Yes.
There's another thing I just wanted to just do an overview of. It's about prophecy. So I was just going to read this little bit right here for everybody. So prophecy primarily serves to build up, encourage, and comfort believers by delivering messages under divine influence. And it also can convict. When somebody is giving you a prophecy, especially people who are evangelists, apostles, like our apostles, pastors, and everybody, you know, people who have the gift of prophecy, they also on the other side will bring you something, and when God is speaking through them, it's also to convict you of what you're doing, call out sin. You have evangelists that go into churches, and they're the ones that call with the Holy Spirit is telling them that's going on in the church. Just like with Apostle Paul, when he was writing the letters to the churches and stuff like that, the Holy Spirit was
mm-hmm.
letting him know what was going on in those particular churches.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it also convicts. It convicts unbelievers and guides the church. It involves receiving
mm-hmm.
and communicating a message from God, and can take the form of words, visions, or dreams, but it's
mm-hmm.
not limited to predicting the future, often involving the interpretation
mm-hmm.
of events or patterns. Ultimately, prophecy is meant to serve as a means of God's grace, providing a personal experience of his presence and directing people toward him. The purpose of prophecy: edification, exhortation, and consolation. Prophecy aims to build up, encourage, and comfort believers according to 1 Corinthians 14:3. Guidance and direction. It can provide guidance for the church and individuals, helping them to understand and follow God's path, just like what Apostle just got through saying.
Mm-hmm.
Conviction and worship. Prophecy can expose the secret thoughts of the unbelievers, leading to conviction of sin and causing them to worship God.
Mm-hmm.
A witness to Jesus. In the New Testament context, prophecy bears witness to who Jesus is, inspired by his life and his teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to wrap this up with what prophecy is not. It's not a replacement for Scripture. Prophecy is not an improved version of the Bible. Rather, it's one of the means God uses to provide his church with grace and wisdom. Solely about fortune telling and future, if it is not done properly in God's love, like I was saying earlier, it can turn into fortune telling of the future. While it can include future events, prophecy also involves interpreting current events, patterns, and signs to reveal God's message. How mm-hmm. prophecy works. Divine influence, the gift of prophecy involves receiving and communicating a message from God, often under the working of the Holy Spirit. There's diverse forms. The message can come as a word, a phrase, a picture, a vision, or a dream, because you can also dream and have visions of prophecy. God will give that directly to you,
mm-hmm.
or he will give you the vision, or he will give you a dream, and then have mm-hmm. apostle or an evangelist, or, you know, somebody who has the gift of interpreting dreams, they can interpret the dreams for you, and then that's one way God is getting it to you, and then you go from one level to the next, because you're like, wow, now I'm dreaming these dreams, and now God is bringing somebody to come and to help me understand my dream or my vision. And okay. So context and sensitivity. Prophetic words should be delivered with self-control. Sensitivity to the timing and context of the situation and should be tested by spiritual leaders. I cannot express the need any more stronger than I'm going to do now. You need to have a spiritual covering.
Amen.
Everybody should have mm-hmm. a spiritual covering, whether it's their pastor, apostle, or whoever else. You got, because I always have heard that you can't go any higher than your spiritual leader. So we should make sure that we are getting sound doctrine from our spiritual leaders. And you need to have somebody up over you so they could be the covering for you. And then it just goes, it should be a type of lineage in the body of Christ. That's a whole other subject.
Okay.
But you need somebody who is going to be there to guide you. And when you have questions and all that other stuff, you know, to teach you how to prophesy, you know what I'm saying? To do it in love. Because like I said, if you do it out of love, it comes off as fortune telling, and then it gets to be used, you know, Satan will come in and pervert it and all that other stuff, because that's what Satan does. He tries to, you know, he wants to pervert everything that God has made. So
yeah. Yeah,
with that being said, is there any questions? We can go around the room. If I can't answer, I have my covering, which is apostle, on the line. So anybody have any questions or afterthoughts, or they want to piggyback on what we were speaking about and teaching about tonight?
People say, "Engineer, you did a good job tonight."
Amen.
You did a very good
Amen.
Job.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, you did a good job.
Well, very well.
I love you, Dewan. Yeah. Oh, I love you too. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I think.
Thank you.
Are there any closing questions or thoughts? Anyone else? If not, I've got something I want to give to everybody, and I want you to actually put it to work. You're going to see, this is prophecy. You're about to see some changes take place around you that you didn't even know God could do.
Amen.
First thing is, I'm going to give you all the names of God.
Yeah.
All of his names. Because with inside of God, we know that there's three main characteristics that live inside of him. One is, he's God the creator.
Amen.
Two is, he's Jesus, the initiator and the salvation. So mm-hmm. Jesus was called to initiate all the will of God. That's why every time you talk to him, every time people talk to him, he said, these words that I speak, my Father is speaking. He was initiating the will of God. And then there's the Holy Ghost, the seal, and the teacher from God.
Hallelujah.
The seal it until the end of time, until eternal life, is the seal. and then he's also the teacher. He takes regular information, turns it into prophetic revelation. He takes that's the Holy Ghost's job. So those are the three characteristics that we know about God. But there are more characteristics that sometimes we forget about, because God is like a flower that blooms and has a million different petals to it. And sometimes, if you know that this part is there, you can speak to it and it will respond faster than just saying, God, can you? Here they come. Ready? First name that we should know is El Elyon. E-L-E-L-Y-O-N. El Elyon.
Hold on.
I'm getting
there. L-E-L-Y-O-N.
Yep.
L-E-L-Y-O-N.
Yes, ma'am.
L-E-L-Y-O-N. Got it.
Yep. And that name is when you are dealing with principalities, dominions, devilish attacks. Because that name means you are the Most High God and you have authority over all principalities, dominions, and attacks.
Amen.
That's what El Elyon, when you call his name. Then there's Elohim. Elohim. E-L-O-H-I-Y-M. Elohim.
Hello.
That is, yep.
Can you spell it E-L-O. Again?
E-L-O.
Yeah. E-L-O. E-L-O. Okay.
Yep. H-I-Y-M.
H-I-Y-M.
Yes, ma'am. That is the name, and that is the power that he used as the power of creation, let there be light. And then light appears. Inside of each one of you is the Elohim of God, the spirit of creation, the spirit of creativity. That's how you come up with solutions to problems. You don't know why you know. You just know I need to do this. That is the that's the Elohim of him. Now, if you know that it's there, though, that's when you start going deeper inside to find wisdom and knowledge and understanding. You, in the Elohim, I can look at a person and say, God, okay, what prescription does this person need to get them out of the circumstance that they're living in? That's his creative presence. Everybody got it?
Wisdom, knowledge, and creation.
Wisdom, knowledge, and creation.
Got it.
That is the Elohim of God. So when you think about it, you kind of go, okay, that kind of makes sense. He made the earth, but he didn't just make the earth. He made the stars. He set the wind in motion so that it blows a certain way and it does a certain thing and it carries seed throughout the entire universe to deposit the seed in places where grass needs to grow. It's bigger. It's so big. It's so beautiful, right? He made the birds that come and pluck out the seed and then take the seed elsewhere to feed somebody else that the babies end up living off the seed that the wind blew.
Yes.
So you know there's wisdom in him because that's a wise way to build an earth so that it becomes self-sustaining and self-perpetuating. You don't have to go plant grass. Grass will grow everywhere if you don't stop it.
That's true. Amen.
Praise the Lord, right? The fish that we see in the sea, the ones we see in our plate, they're catfish, they might be pike, they may be walleye, but when you go look in the ocean, there are fish of all designs, all colors, all dimensions, some have eight legs, some have two legs, some crabs, some shrimp, some, isn't that creative? And we really think about, what kind of mind did it take to not just make fish, to make this variety that we look at. That's his Elohim. You got to know that that's there and it's inside of you. El Shaddai.
That's the word I want to talk about. El Shaddai. Mm.
Yep. That means God of much more. When I have, when I think I hit a peak and the peak don't go no further, I need to call on El Shaddai. Take me to another level, God.
How are you spelling that, Pastor?
ELSHADDAI.
D-D-I.
Some people say El Shaddai, but it's El Shaddai.
Shaddai.
A-I.
And that's God of, he's God of
much more.
Self-sufficient in everything. He don't need nobody to minister to him. He don't need nobody to preach at him. He don't need nobody to tell him he's wonderful and marvelous. He just is. No,
yeah.
And there's no level in life that you'll go to that he can't take you to a whole nother level. And that's why we should never be. The worst thing on the planet is a believer who allows an enemy called average to become their friend. The worst thing on the planet is a believer who's been called, being reshaped and remolded in God's image, and they walk around holding on to an enemy called average. I just want to exist and coexist with the rest of the world. You called to be the head and not the tail.
Not the tail.
You cannot sit back and become comfortable with being comfortable. The only comfort that a real believer has is being uncomfortable. God may call on me to pray. He may call on me to lay hands on somebody that don't even know what I'm doing. He may. It's the comfort of God is to be uncomfortable because of God.
And that.
Amen. El Shaddai. We got that?
Amen. El Shaddai. Yes.
I'm going to go very quickly. The next name, Jehovah, or Jehovah, as people say.
Jehovah.
Right? They say Jehovah. But that's because they added the English letter J. There was no J in the language until the year 1600 when King James kicked in and did their thing. Jehovah. And what that means is the same thing that Moses found out. Watch this. When Moses went to the mount and he stood there and he saw the burning bush and he heard the voice of God, and God said, I want you to go back and free my people. Listen to me, good. Take this with you, please. I want you to free my people.
Yeah.
And Moses said, okay, I get this. I know this ain't normal, so you got to be God. He said, but who am I going to say to them sent me? Whom shall I say
to
the person that sent me? Which tells you Moses had no knowledge of his God.
Right.
And he replied by saying in the King James, I am that I am.
That I am,
But the word I am in the Hebrew means Yahweh or Jehovah.
Right, Yahweh.
So what is the purpose of knowing that? The purpose of knowing that is when I'm looking at a circumstance and I have no idea what I'm sent to do, why it's taking place, I need to call on the great I am. Because what that means is when you're thirsty, I am your water. When you're hungry, I'm the food, I'm the provision. When you're tired, I'm your strength and your energy. When you're sick, I am. When you're angry, I am peace.
Hallelujah.
And so when I don't know what to call, I call on Jehovah.
Jehovah.
Great I am. Now, there's also Jehovah Shalom.
That part, the great I am.
The great I am.
Yes, that's
there's
the
also. There's also
that's
Jehovah Shalom. Let me give you these. I'm going to run through them. I'm not going to explain them all. I'm just going to give them to you. I want you to look them up, please. Jehovah Shalom.
Shalom.
Right. Shalom. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right? That's peace. Jehovah Nissi. N-I-S-S-I. That is, he becomes a banner and a standard.
If the
police came to arrest you, you know you ain't did nothing wrong, you call on my standard bearer.
Yes.
See, I got a moral standard I'm standing by. You can accuse me all you want to, but Jehovah Nisi, that part of him is going to show up for me. Because you ain't going to be able to stand here and accuse me and lie on me and lie about me and lie. You know how people sit back talking about, oh, they just lied on me at the church and so forth. And so. You don't have to say that when you know you got a standard bearer. Let him expose the lie. I don't have to run around telling everybody they talking about me. They jealous of my anointing and blah, 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 blah. They just jealous of my anointing. Yeah, right. You know, if you've got an anointing, then a standard will show up for you.
Sure. Amen.
Right? Jehovah Jireh. That is specifically the name of the Hebrew. Yes, ma'am. The Hebrew Israelites named them that when they saw while they were in the desert, he dropped bread from heaven. When they got tired of the bread and complained and moaned, they said, we need meat. He sent a flock of meat to them. And they realized, he's a provider. Why are we always stressing about what we don't have? Why do we always stress about what we don't have when I know I can call him for what he does have for me?
Man.
And he'll show up,
hallelujah,
and I'll have more than enough.
Hallelujah.
Jehovah Rapha.
Hallelujah.
Jehovah Rapha.
R-A-P-H-A.
My healer. See, and all of these are parts of God's personality. We know it.
Glory.
Jesus, Isaiah tried to make sure we knew it. By his stripes, you'll be healed. We quote that.
Amen.
We don't call him.
Amen.
Let me try it again.
Yeah,
we don't call him. Oh, by his stripes, I'm healed. Well, okay, great. Okay, which stripe? The one or the 40th one?
I like that. Which one?
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, all the stripes meant something. Because 40 is also the number of wiping out evil. 40 days and 40 nights it rained, he wiped out evil. The Jews walked around in the desert for 40 years. He wiped out a whole generation of complaining, moaning, crying, whining children and brought in a whole new generation. 40 is the number, 40 stripes on Jesus' back, 40. So one of those stripes means something. But when I call on Jehovah Rapha, he knows which stripe to use to bring the glory.
Yes,
what stripe are you going to use to heal me? Hallelujah, right? Jehovah Sid Kenu. Sidkenu. Jehovah Sid Kenu.
Spell that one more time, Pastor.
Yes.
Is in Tom, S is in Sam. Yes, ma'am. Is in Tom, S is in Sam. I is in Indiana. D is in David. K is in Keith. E is in Edward. N is in Nancy.
I'm sorry.
K is in Keith.
Sid.
S-I-D. Yep. Sid Kenu. S-I-D-K-E-N-U. And that is the Lord, my righteousness. Right?
Thank
you. Watch where this goes. Resist the devil and he'll flee.
See,
but I don't have power. Oh, but if the Lord is my righteousness, the power can show up. Jehovah Makadesh. Jehovah Mkadesh. Right? M-K-A-D-D-E-S-H. M-K-A-D-D-E-S-H. A God of sanctification. When I know that he's a God of sanctification, I know that's in him. I can be alone and not be lonely.
Amen.
So to be sanctified means to be set apart. But I'm not set apart to be alone. I'm not set apart to be lonely. I'm set apart to be alone because he's separating me from light. What fellowship does light have with darkness?
Darkness, yes.
So ain't no reason for me to be running over Joe's house and Mike's house and Bobby's house or Denise's house.
Amen.
Unless I'm going over there to minister to them and get them to find Jesus. Because if I go over there and hang around them, the darkness will become overwhelming sometimes. And I know some of us know what I'm talking about. You'll get around some folks just because they family don't mean anything dark.
Amen.
Does that move the God of light?
Which one? Jehovah Makadesh?
Yeah.
No, it means the Lord of my sanctification. You set me apart and made me different. You justified, you redeemed me. And now I'm different. I'm sanctified.
Sanctification.
Mm-hmm. Jehovah Shammah. And we need to start using those names of God. In your
Amen.
Prayer, know what you're praying
Lord.
For. Know which part of him you're praying to. Because these are in his personality. Just like mom is in you, wife is in you, cousin is in you, sister is in you, friend lives in you. Right? All those personalities live within you. They know when to show up. They know how to show up. And certain circumstances make them show up.
Amen. The last one was Jehovah what?
Jehovah Shammah.
Can you spell that one?
S-H-A-M-M-A-H.
S-A-H-M-A.
S-H-A.
M-M-A-H.
S-A-H.
M-M-A-H.
Okay, and I've got some more for you, but we're going to end on that one. I've got a couple more for you, but I want you to look them up. This is how, this is when you really begin to know him. You begin to understand the multiplicity and the multifaceted mannerisms that live in your God. Because we know the three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We talk about the three. But they're multifaceted. He's a multifaceted God. He is as multifaceted as there are stars in the sky.
Yes.
As there are those fish that are in the sea.
Yes.
Because some part of him made every one of them.
Yes.
I don't want to be the blue fish today. I want to make the green fish. I'm going to make a yellow fish with blue in it. I think I'll make a purple fish just to thank you. I think this fish, I'm going to give it a big head and give it eight arms just so it can crawl across the very floors of the ocean. But at the same time, it's going to have a defensive mechanism that spews ink instead of poison. This one over here, I'm going to give that.
And then
I'm going to make these creeping things on the earth, and some of them will crawl on their bellies. Some of them will have six legs. Some will have four legs. Some will have, he's multifaceted.
Oh, my goodness. So many challenges.
Such a big God. Being confined to such small words.
Yeah.
So, everybody got it? Praise the Lord, right?
Yeah.
We all got
it. Praise the Lord.
Amen. We're going to have more, because the more you know about your God, the more you're going to know which part needs to be trusted when it comes down to fighting this particular demon and devil. Devil going to have to go.
I got one more.
Kick him around just a little bit. Yes, ma'am. What'd you say?
I'm sorry. You say you got more for us. I say, do you have one more for now? If you have one more for now, that'll have us end on 12. And 12 is the number of completion.
Yes, that's ma'am. I'm going to give you the number of the apostles.
All right. Number of apostles.
Right? So, where did I leave off?
Jehovah Shammah.
Jehovah Shammah.
Okay. Let me give you the other names. There's two more that are very important to you. And I think that these will bless your heart.
Thank you.
Here we go.
Thank you.
So you want Jehovah, Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, like Sabbath.
Spell that for Sabaoth. S-A-B-A-T-H.
S-A-O-T-H, yep. And that particular name means he is the Lord of assignment. He assigns hosts over my life. He assigns angels and mighty warring angels to protect me.
Lord of assignment. I need the name Sabaoth.
Either way you want to say it, he knows who he is.
S-A-B-A-O-T-H.
Yeah.
A-O-T-A.
H. Yes, ma'am. And then you have Jehovah Rohi.
Okay.
And that was what David was speaking to when he said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. That's what it means. He's Jehovah Rohi. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores
my soul. Rohi is R-O-H-I.
H-I. Jehovah Rohi.
Rohi.
That's what he was talking about. That's what that psalm was about. He was calling him Jehovah Rohi. All of what we're reading is English translation of what was written in the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic.
Yes.
Right? Then the last one is you are Adonai. Sovereign God and the adorned one. That means there's no clothing in the world that could ever look better than what you look like on me.
Is that Jehovah? That's Jehovah.
Adonai.
How are you spelling it?
A-D-O-N-A-I.
One more time.
A-D.
A-D.
O-N-A-I. Adonai.
O-N-A-I.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Got him?
Yeah,
total 14, right? Total 14, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, 14.
How many apostles was it?
14.
Well.
How many?
12.
Ooh. Somebody said 12. Somebody said 14. 12. I want to ask the person that said 14. Why do you say it was 14?
Because you said you were going to give us the number of apostles. So I followed what you said.
Okay. And so... so how do we get to the 14? Here's how we got there, right? Because we've been taught as 12 apostles. You even got churches out here that don't believe anybody can be an apostle because they believe the only apostles were the ones that walk with Jesus. However, they don't pay attention to the fact that Paul got turned into an apostle long after Jesus was gone.
Mm-hmm.
That means that the Spirit is what makes apostles, not man.
Yeah. Amen.
Not nobody give you the title of apostle. It's an earned anointing that comes from God himself. But anyway, how do we get to 14? So if you remember, after Judas died, that was the 12. After Judas died and committed suicide, the apostle said, we must find one to take over Judas's bishopric. And they cast lots, and a man named Mattathias was selected. That was 13.
Mattathias. Okay.
In the book of Acts.
Okay.
You must find one to take Judas' bishopric because this number should be kept, 12. It's the number of nations. The number of all men is the number of everything that you need to master, 12.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so Mattathias now makes 13. And then Paul comes along in the book of Acts on the road to Damascus, receives the Holy Ghost, blinded for 3 days and filled with revelation in the 3 days of his blindness. That's why it's all right for you not to see everything. That's why it's all right to close your eyes to some stuff. Because you can close your eyes to it and still get a revelation about it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And so all becomes the 14th. So they were actually 14.
Okay.
Not just 12.
Okay.
Got it?
All right.
14
thank
means
you.
A dog.
Thank you.
Amen. Everybody got it?
Amen.
Yeah, what you say 14 means?
14? I don't know. I have to look that up.
Oh,
that's
don't
a great
worry
question.
About it.
Why 14?
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
But it's there. So I'm going to look it up for you because I think that's important. In fact, Sister Angela, you're going to look it up.
What did you want me to look up?
I want you to look up why were there 14. What does the number 14 mean in spiritual, in the spirit realm? What does the number 14 mean? You don't have to look it up now, but have it for next week, if you will. Okay?
Okay. And there were 14 right. apostles. Is that right?
There were 14, at least. Many at more least. Came after that, because I believe I'm an apostle called by God. So
right.
I know I make at least 15.
Right.
But I know I'm sent. I did nobody call me. Did nobody go, you know, it is what he's done. It's not what somebody taught.
Oh, I got it for you. I got it for you. In spirituality, the number 14 is generally considered a positive and dynamic number representing balance, meaning new beginnings, and a call to take action to achieve your goals and clear debts. It often serves as a message from angels or the universe to inspire hope, offer direction, and encourage you to use your positive thoughts, unique talents, and inner strength to create the changes you desire.
Isn't that interesting? Did I not say this that I'm about to give you is about to change your outcome?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Glory to God. God has just got a way of talking. Yeah, Lord. So I'm going to ask Sister Donna, could you be kind enough to close us out? It's so good to hear your voice and hope and pray to see you or hear from you at least next week.
Yes, I pray so the same, Pastor. I appreciate it. Yes. Father, we come before you on tonight, Lord. Thank you for everyone
thank
on this
you.
Line.
Father,
I ask you next week, let me be back here.
Hallelujah.
And let everyone else be here. Lord, bless every
thank
house
you,
that's
Lord.
Represented. Keep your hands on us and keep us away from all danger. Thank the apostle,
thank
Lord, for all the information and the tools that he has just given us, Lord. They're going to take
you,
us
Lord.
Far. We know it. So, Father, we say thank you for him. We give you glory and
thank
honor
you.
For him, Lord. Lord, you are awesome in all your ways, Father. Just continue to watch over each and every one of us. Get us to our destination safely on a daily basis, Father, bringing us back together at the appointed time and appointed place so that we all can meet again and learn what we need to know. Thank you, Father, and bless the Apostle wife. That's one thing. She's been on my mind. I just wanted to say thank you for her, God. So bless their household, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything, Father, that
yes, God.
Sometimes we don't even speak about. We thank you for the problems that we may be having, God. Thank you, and instead of us complaining about them, we just going to start saying thank you for them, God. Because
thank
we know
you
trying to get us to a different level,
hallelujah.
God. And we know that if we speak your name, those problems have got to move. So, Father, we just thank you in advance. Lord,
thank you, Father.
We thank you for all. In Jesus' mighty name. If there's
hallelujah.
Any heart that's sad, Lord, make it happy. If there's any heart that's broken, fix it, Lord. If there's anybody that's hurting, God, heal them in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
Father, we thank
ma'am.
You for all that you are doing. Thank you, Father. Bring us back
thank
again.
You.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And Sister Angela Jadu, we praise
hallelujah.
The Lord and thank you for the wonderful
thank
job.
You.
Get prepared because you're going to do
thank
it again. Praise
hallelujah.
Thank
you.
I love everybody. And I will talk to everybody next week on Wednesday, right at 5:30. God bless everybody.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Bless.
Have a good week, Ben. Have a good week.
Have a good week.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good night, New Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good night.
Thank you.